This is the Thriving Dentist Show with Gary Takacs, where we help you develop your ideal dental practice, one that provides personal, professional, and financial satisfaction.
Welcome to another edition of the Thriving Dentist Show. I'm Gary Takacs, your show host. Very excited to have you join us again today for another edition of the Thriving Dentist Show. This show is going to be a little bit different. If you're a regular listener to the Thriving Dentist Show, you know that the normal format, the usual format, is I interview authorities in dentistry, and we talk about whatever their topic of expertise is. That's the traditional format. However, occasionally I do a solo show myself to dive into a particular practice management topic. And today I'm going to talk about five specific tips to reduce hygiene cancellations and no-shows. Let me tell you a little bit about how this topic came to be and why I've decided to do this show today. I get a number of emails from our listeners, and many of the emails have suggested future topics for the show or future guests for the show. So let me invite you, as a regular listener to the Thriving Dentist Show, let me invite you to be in communication with me via email. My email address is very simple. It's Gary@Takacs, T-A-K-A-C-S, learningcenter.com. Gary@Takacs learningcenter.com. Hey, don't worry. If you're driving, I'll make sure to put that email address in the show notes so that you can have that. But please feel welcome to communicate with me via email. And I'd like to invite you to send suggestions for future guests for the Thriving Dentist Show, as well as future topics. Well, I've had a number of requests for this topic. It seems that if you're struggling with hygiene cancellations and no-shows, you are not alone. Some would say that it's an epidemic today in our profession. So I'm going to share with you five very specific tips to dramatically reduce hygiene cancellations and no-shows. However, before I do that, I want to rewind the wheel back about 3 or 4 weeks ago and revisit a topic that we talked on the show with Dr. Bill Dorfman. If you have not heard the show that I did recently with Dr. Bill Dorfman, it was titled The Greatest Gift, and it has been one of our most downloaded shows. So if you haven't listened to that, let me encourage you to go back to the archives and listen to that show with Dr. Bill Dorfman titled The Greatest Gift. We talked about a couple of different specific things in that show. We talked about a number of different ways that you can give back to your community for those that are deserving of dentistry to help people that perhaps wouldn't have access to care through our normal channels. There are many of those less fortunate that simply don't have access to care. And Bill talked about some things that you can do at the local level, at the national level, and at the international level, including a clinic that he built in the Dominican Republic that represents opportunity for you to give back to the wonderful profession by helping those that are deserving of care. We also talked about the foundation that he co-founded in Los Angeles called the LEAP Foundation, L-E-A-P. The LEAP Foundation. This is a week-long program at UCLA every summer for young adults. It's for young adults age 16 to 24. And they go through a week-long program. They stay on the campus at UCLA, and the students basically learn life skills. The groups are divided into two. There's a high school group and then a college age group. And the young adults are divided into groups where they learn life skills on how to succeed in life. And I'm a real advocate of this program. The work that Bill is doing and his team is doing with LEAP is just phenomenal. In fact, my daughter, Callie, she's a sophomore at the University of Arizona. She'll be attending the LEAP Foundation this next summer, and I literally can't wait for her to attend. You know, she's learning all kinds of cool academic things at the University of Arizona, but what she's going to learn at LEAP is going to really help her succeed in life beyond, you know, her college career. And I asked Bill to put together a short little summaries of some of the things they talk about at LEAP to kind of give you an idea of what that program's all about. And I want to play one now. One of the things that they talk about is to the young adults is how to nail the job interview. In other words, all the things they need to do to get their first job out there. And so without any further ado, listen to Bill, and Bill's going to talk a little bit about what they do at LEAP to help young adults prepare for the workforce. Hey, Bill, welcome back to the Thriving Dentist Show. In our interview a couple weeks ago, we talked about LEAP and some of the cool things you're doing with LEAP. But I know that you do a really cool segment that you've titled Nail the Job. Nail the Job. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, 65% of students move back in with their parents after college, and 85% are underemployed or unemployed. So we thought, you know, in the spirit of LEAP, what we like to do is we like to teach kids the skills that they need to be successful in life. And one of them is getting a job, right?
Hey, there's an idea.
So we're going to really quickly run through the 11 tips to nail a job. Number one is know yourself. You know, why are you there? What's this position? Is this something that you really want to do? And do you have unique skills that are going to make you stand out when you apply for this job? Number two, know the organization and the position you're applying for. You know, with the internet today, if you walk into an interview and you don't know all the key players, what the company does, who their competition is, you are just not on the ball. I mean, you know, how awesome would it be to be sitting in an interview and as they're asking you questions, referencing people that work in the company or referencing, you know, your, you know, biggest competitor is blah, 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 blah. But I think you have an advantage because you do, you know, X, Y, and Z. I mean, you know, the fact that you took the time to learn about the company is really impressive. Listen, I've interviewed hundreds of people over the years, and people that come in well prepared really stand out. So I think that's a really important thing. Third, match your job description with your cover letter. I mean, a lot of people write a resume and they throw the whole kitchen sink in there. You know, more isn't better. Better is better. You know, so if you're applying for a job in a tech firm, they don't need to know that you worked at McDonald's for 3 years in high school. You know, put things that are relevant to that job position in there. Number four, you know, prepare for your interview and practice. Do a practice interview. You can take your iPhone or any recording device, sit down and, you know, have a friend set it up and ask you questions and watch yourself answer the questions, you know, and we give you probably the five questions that you'll get asked every time you do an interview. Plus I give you 50 more very common questions with some really good answers because there are hard things to answer. You know, sometimes, you know, it's easy when people say, you know, what are your strengths? But when they say, what are your weaknesses? You know, it's difficult to answer those kinds of questions and have it sound really positive. So that's what we teach you how to do. Number five, look good. Okay. You know, women should come in a conservative suit, coordinated blouse and skirt, you know, limited jewelry, neat professional hair. We ask you to, you know, not wear a lot of cologne or perfume or things like that. Now, if you're going to work at MTV, probably not a great idea to come. You know, you can walk in jeans and a t-shirt and, you know, whatever. But, you know, again, match it for the position. Same with men. For a corporate job, you should wear, you know, a conservative suit with a white long sleeve shirt with a tie. I mean, look at what the people there are wearing and you should come in wearing the same thing. Number six, bring letters of reference, you know, letters of recommendation. I mean, things that we say backup material, things that they can, you know, look at later on. Number seven, visualize a successful interview. So really sit down and think about, you know, what you're going to say, rehearse again, the questions. Number eight, be on time. First impressions matter. Number nine, use positive and appropriate language. Don't ever say anything negative about any of your past employers, regardless of how horrific they may have been. It just doesn't serve you well. Number 10, send a thank you note. And I don't mean a text message. I mean, actually sit down and use your hand and write a note and send it back. And number 11, evaluate the interview. Sit down with yourself and figure out what I could have done better next time.
You know, Bill, it was such great advice for young adults, but many of our listeners are in dental school. They're early in their career. This is great advice for them when they're going out for their interviews as well. Hey, Bill, thanks so much for sharing this information. I'm going to put a link in the show notes to Leap Foundation. And as a listener, I want to encourage you, send your kids to Leap. And hey, Bill, you made a promise in our show. You said if they'll send your kids, what are they going to get back?
You're going to get back a better version of your kid. So go to www.leapfoundation.com, LEAPFOUNDATION.com. And you should get everything you need on that site.
Hey, thanks, Bill. Well, how cool is that? Well, if you have high school or college age kids in your house, let me strongly encourage you to send them out to Leap. As Bill promised, he'll return them better students. So it's quite a promise, and it's one that I know he's deeply committed to. Well, hey, let's go ahead and dive into our topic today, which is five specific tips to dramatically reduce hygiene cancellations and no-shows. Let me start by framing the topic stating the obvious, and that is that cancellations and no-shows in hygiene have become an epidemic, quite literally an epidemic. And I have noticed, of course, I've been in the industry for 34 years now, and I've noticed over this time period, it seems that it's getting harder and harder and harder to get people to keep their appointments. I think there's a variety of reasons for that, not the least of which that it seems like some of the manners or standard protocols that used to kind of exist in the past are starting to disappear. And people just don't have the same courtesy that they used to. You know, when I first got involved in this profession in the early 1980s, if a patient made an appointment and for some reason they weren't able to keep that appointment, they would usually contact the dental office and reschedule. However, what I'm finding today is that that is becoming less and less common. So if you happen to be an office that's struggling with a high level of cancellations and no-shows, please understand that you're not alone. It's very common across practices all over the country, all over the world. So this is not something that you're facing by yourself. It's something that seems to be a bit of a pandemic among dental offices all over the world. So with that in mind, I'm going to suggest some very specific solutions that will help you solve that problem and dramatically reduce your hygiene cancellations and no-shows. Five very specific tips. Tip number one, I'm going to encourage you not to pre-appoint all of your hygiene appointments for all of your hygiene patients for their future hygiene appointments. Let me repeat that. Tip number one is don't pre-appoint all of your patients for their future hygiene appointments. Now, let me take a minute and explain that. Many of you have gone to practice management courses, and for years and years and years, the experts, myself included, have taught you to pre-appoint patients for their hygiene appointments. In fact, I was the one that perhaps first initiated that strategy in the early 1980s. It was about 1982. In 1982, I was one that said that no patient should ever leave your practice without making their next hygiene appointment. You know, I said no patient should ever leave your practice without making their next hygiene appointment. So I would teach verbal skills to guide patients, you know, into that next appointment. And the goal was to have 100% of our patients pre-appointed for their next hygiene appointment. I'm sure many of you are following that very same principle. In fact, many, 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 many management consultants continue to teach that approach today. Let me tell you why I do not teach that approach today. Well, most of you know that although I am not a dentist, I do own a dental practice or co-own a dental practice in Phoenix, Arizona with Dr. Paul Nielsen. It's called Life Smiles Dental Care. Paul and I co-own that practice. We bought it in May of 07. And besides being a great practice, it also serves as a learning and teaching lab for my clients and also for my audiences when I'm speaking. I wanted to have a practice where I could test concepts out and then report back to you as to what worked and what didn't work. Well, fairly early on, we bought that practice in May of 2007. And by the way, it was very much a fixer-upper practice, physically as well as behaviorally. Physically, this is a practice that was in dramatic need of upgrading. The practice looked quite antiquated. But also behaviorally, it was very much a backwards practice. So we had to go through and install systems in the practice. And I'm a huge believer, by the way, that the hygiene department is the backbone of a successful general dental practice. The stronger your hygiene department is, the stronger your practice is. I mean, it's quite literally that simple. The stronger your hygiene department is, the stronger your practice is. So I'm a big believer in engaging as many patients as possible in your recare program. By the way, I like to use the word recare instead of recall. I think it's important to be mindful of the words that we use. Recall is something that Detroit does for faulty cars. Think about that for a minute. They issue recalls. So rather than calling it a recall, I like to call it a recare because that I think more accurately describes what it is. Well, our practice very early on, we needed to install a good system for that because there simply was not a good system in place prior to our purchase of the practice. So sure enough, I had been teaching this for many, many years. I taught the concept that we should pre-appoint all of our patients. No one should leave the office without having made their next hygiene appointment. And it took a little bit of training with our team, but they quickly embraced that concept. And next thing you know, sure enough, all of our patients were being pre-appointed for their next appointment, whether that be 6 months out, could be 3 months out or 4 months out. If they're a periodontal therapy patient, if they're a healthy adult, that appointment would be 6 months out. Well, we bought the practice in May, and by the end of the year, I was starting to wonder whether that was the best system or not. Let me explain something that happened. It was rather cryptic, and I think you'll appreciate my description of what happened. Well, we have had a patient in our practice, he still is a patient in our practice, who is one of those that is perhaps less reliable about keeping his appointments. He's a good person. However, he's got a lot of distractions in his life, and he's not the most reliable about keeping his appointments. And sure enough, this was about 7 or 8 months after we owned the practice. And he was our 7 o'clock hygiene patient. And sure enough, 7 o'clock, there's no Charlie. 7:05, there's no Charlie. 7:10, there's no Charlie, and it's pretty apparent that Charlie is not showing up. All right. So I turned to one of our front desk team members, and before I could even ask her what was going on with Charlie, she looked me right in the eyes, and she said, "Gary, I knew he wasn't coming." All right. So, "Gary, I knew Charlie was not coming." And I turned to her in a polite tone. I said, "Well, if you knew he wasn't coming, why did you appoint him?" Without 1 second of hesitation, she turned to me and said, "Because you instructed me to." Wait a minute. Guilty as charged. This was one of those patients where I encouraged my team, I told my team that no one leaves our office without making their next hygiene appointment. And sure enough, this was one of those patients. And when she went to confirm, and she went on to tell me the whole story. She tried to confirm him by traditional means and was never able to reach him. She left messages. She was never actually able to establish contact with him. She knew in her gut that Charlie wasn't coming. It was that moment that I realized I needed to change this system. And here's what we changed it to. Let's recognize that one size fits all is rarely a useful strategy. One size fits all. People need to be treated individually. People have different quirks, have different eccentricities, have different personalities. And it's important to recognize those and to not try to use a one size fits all. I think of what we were trying to do with Charlie as pounding a square peg in a round hole. He is simply not the kind of fellow that you can pre-appoint for an appointment 6 months in advance and have a strong degree of success that he's going to actually show up. So let me tell you what we've done since then. It's an adaptation of that. I still believe that you should pre-appoint as many of your patients as possible, but not all of them. And so among your existing patients, you probably can determine by past behavior whether that's a patient that you can pre-appoint or not. If it's a patient that's shown a history of keeping their appointments, then by all means, make their future appointments for them. It saves you administratively, and it helps kind of guide their calendar and prioritize their dental care. So that's the first thing that goes in their calendar. They likely don't have a lot of things in their calendar 6 months from now. And so their dental appointment is one of the first things that goes in the calendar. For those patients that are faithful about keeping appointments, then continue to do what I've taught for many years, which is to pre-appoint those patients. However, those patients that are not have not shown a pattern of keeping their past appointments, don't pound the square peg in a round hole. With those patients, simply tell them, we'll be in contact with you. You're due, let's say this is now June, and we're going to be due in 6 months in December. You can tell that patient, Charlie, it's important that we see you in December. And so rather than making that appointment now, we're going to contact you. And once you get that contact, please be in touch with us and schedule your appointment. It's very important that we see you in December, because by seeing you on a regular basis, we accomplish two things. We keep you as healthy as possible, and we reduce your future dental expenses. So by all means, emphasize those two benefits to patients for staying on a regular schedule. You know, Charlie, it's important that we see you in June. If he was happened to be due in April, Charlie, it's important that we see you in April for two reasons. Number one, it keeps you as healthy as possible. And number two, it reduces your future dental expenses. However, rather than making the appointment now, we're going to send you a communication and ask you to be in touch with us to make that appointment once you get that communication. What we found is that these are the kind of patients that can keep appointments on a relatively short basis. If the appointment's made within a week or two, these aren't the kind of patients that can typically keep an appointment that's made 6 months out. Now, when it comes to new patients, you don't have history on them other than the history of their first appointment. You don't have any history of them regarding their hygiene appointments. So what do you do with those patients? You simply ask them. And you can ask them very directly. Hey, Charlie, we'd like to see you every 6 months. Is based on your health and the health of your teeth and gums. We'd like to see you every 6 months for a hygiene visit. Now, let me ask you this, Charlie. Are you the kind of person that can make an appointment 6 months from now and actually keep that appointment? And then pause. So, Charlie, are you the kind of person that can make an appointment and actually keep that appointment 6 months from now? Now, I've found that most people will be brutally honest with you. There's a strong percentage of people who say, sure, let me put it in my phone, let me put it in my planner, let me put it in my day timer, let me put it in my calendar, and yes, I will be there. And there are other people that will just look at you and say, you know what? I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow, let alone 6 months from now. Probably better not to make that appointment. And that's perfectly fine. Then you know, then you're going to put them in that second category. So tip number one, don't pre-appoint all patients. What we found in my practice as well as client offices is you can successfully pre-appoint about 70% of your patients. That's what we found across my client base, about 70% of patients. Now, you may be higher than that or maybe slightly lower than that, but the norm has been about 70% can be successfully pre-appointed. That means that you have to manage the other 30% or whatever that percentage is with another system, because you don't want them to slip through the cracks, which leads me to the second recommendation. My second recommendation is I'm going to encourage you to use some sort of patient communication system to confirm your appointments via email and text. It's an automated system that allows you to communicate with your patients via email or text. In my own office and in client offices, I recommend that we use a company by the name of Solution Reach. You may know them as Smile Reminder. They initially started out in the dental space, and they were called Smile Reminder. When they expanded into other healthcare markets, such as the physician market, optometry, even veterinary, they changed the name of their company to Solution Reach. In fact, I'm going to put their website address in the show notes. We have used them for about 2 years in my practice with fantastic results. Now, let's benchmark results for just a minute, and then I'll get back to that recommendation. Let's benchmark results. One of the statistics that I encourage you to track on a regular basis in your practice is the percent of hygiene appointments that go unfilled at the end of the month. Your percent of hygiene appointments that go unfilled. And the gold standard or the standard with which I would give you an A on your report card is 8% or less. So in other words, if you had 100 available hygiene appointments, I'm just picking a round number that makes the math easy. If you had 100 available hygiene appointments and 92 or more of those actually showed up or you're able to fill those, then you'd get an A on the report card. Now, prior to having Solution Reach in my own practice, we track our statistics copiously, and we do that so I can report them when I'm speaking, and also I can share that information with our clients. So we track information on a very detailed manner in our practice. Prior to installing Solution Reach in the practice, we typically had about a 7% unfilled hygiene appointment rate, about 7%. And I have to give our hygiene scheduling coordinator, Carly, a lot of credit for that. She used to work her, and she still does, work her tail off to keep those appointments filled, you know, in hygiene. And she would spend about 3 hours a day, working on that. And by the way, that was for 10 days of hygiene a week in our practice. We currently have 10 days of hygiene. We have one hygienist is there 4 days a week, a second is there 4 days a week, and a third hygienist is there 2 days a week, collectively filling 10 days of hygiene a week. And so it would take Carly 3 hours a day of effort with our ReCare system to have that result of 7% or less. Certainly, I was very happy with that because, again, anything less than 8%, 8% or less is considered an A on the report card. So Carly was getting an A on her report card. About 2 years ago, we put Solution Reach in place in our practice. Since then, let me report what has happened. That 7% has gone to as low as 3%. 3% unfilled. At the 3% level, I mean, it's quite remarkable to get down to that level. That literally brings it down to the point of people waking up sick and not able to show up for their dental appointment. That's a very, 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 if you know, if 8% is an A, 3% would be considered an A++. Now, there's added benefit to putting an automated system in place. Carly now spends about an hour a day rather than 3 hours a day to get that result, because so much of it is automated through the system that we use through Solution Reach. She's now spending about an hour a day rather than 3 hours a day. And you need not worry about Carly's hours. We are not cutting her hours. You need not worry about that. We have plenty of things that Carly can spend her time and attention on that warrant her time and attention. So we have lots of things that she can do. And it's so useful to have her be able to apply that extra 2 hours a day or at the end of the week. That's an extra 8 to 9 hours a week that she can apply to other more useful tasks, in our practice. So tip number two is use a patient communication system to confirm your appointments via email and text. And in the we use Solution Reach. In the interest of fairness, there are other companies out there in the space that do that. Let me just name some of the other ones. Demand Force is one. Another one is called Lighthouse 360. Another is Patient Activator. Another is called Revenue Well. Of all of those, I happen to like Solution Reach quite well, and it's the one that we use in my own practice, and it's the one that I recommend to our clients. Let's go to tip number three. I'm going to call tip number three, use a preemptive strike. Use a preemptive strike. Now, what in the world do I mean by that? Let me share with you what I mean by that. set up a system in your practice. Let me get kind of granular here with you on this system, because this is one that does require getting into some detail. I want to encourage you to set up a system in your practice where you identify patients who are at risk. And when I say at risk, I don't mean from a medical standpoint. I mean at risk of not showing up. And here's what I teach our clients to do. On Monday morning, I want you to print an actual physical copy of the daily schedule for the following week. For the following week. For example, tomorrow is actually, what is tomorrow? I have to look at the calendar to figure out what date tomorrow is. Tomorrow is the 20th of October when I'm recording this. And so if this was Monday morning, the 20th, then I'm going to encourage you to pull a printed schedule of each day for the week of the 27th, the following week. And in the morning, right after your morning huddle, I want your front desk team member or team members to sit down with your hygienist and spend about 5 minutes on this exercise. So if you're a Monday through Friday practice, you're going to have five daily schedules in front of you for the week of the 27th. You'll have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I want them to get out their yellow highlight marker and literally highlight any patients on the hygiene schedule that they feel are at risk of not showing up. Perhaps there's just a feeling that they have. There's just some intuition that they have that so-and-so may not be showing up. By the way, I'm not embarrassed to tell you that I've noticed this when I do this in my client offices, that sometimes it seems like more names are highlighted than not. That'll probably be unusual, but that can happen. Some weeks are just like that. And so what I want you to do is I want you to identify patients on your hygiene schedule that are at risk of not showing up. Now I want you to start to confirm those patients using your digital means via email or text. I want you to start confirming them 7 to 11 days in advance. So we're going to start confirming them today on the 20th for the 27th through the 31st. And we're going to confirm, we're going to send them some kind of correspondence by email or text that says, hey, we have you scheduled next Monday. We have you scheduled next Tuesday. Please confirm that appointment. Please confirm your attendance with us. And what we find with that is that one of three things is going to happen. Either the patient is going to head and confirm. If they confirm, you still want to send them a reminder the day before, because these are patients that need a little bit more attention. But again, if we're doing that via a digital means, that doesn't require much extra effort. So they'll either confirm, and then you'll want to remind them a day before. Or secondly, they will cancel, they will reschedule, which is not the best outcome, of course, but now you're finding out a week, 7 to 11 days in advance, giving you plenty of time to fill those time slots. That's why I call it a preemptive strike, because we're preempting those that we're going to cancel or reschedule, and we're finding out in advance with a 7 to 11 day advance notice rather than finding out the very last minute. And the third possibility is that the patient doesn't respond at all. You'll have to develop your own protocol for dealing with those that don't respond. However, I think they have to be kind of dealt with on a case-by-case basis. In some cases, you might have you might be willing to risk them on the schedule. In other cases, you might want to actually take them off the schedule. It just depends on their past behavior and past history in your practice. But now by doing that, you have gone a long way towards solidifying your schedule. There was a month in our practice, and again, I don't mind sharing with you, warts and all, the things that happen at Life Smiles, because I have a greater empathy and understanding of the kind of things that go on in your practice through my own experience. There was a month in our practice where we literally had almost a 30% cancellation no-show rate that month in our practice. Almost one-third of our hygiene patients didn't show up. That was extremely dysfunctional, and that was before we started applying the tips that I'm sharing with you today. And we had to make some changes. And now what we find is by doing that preemptive strike and identifying those patients that aren't coming, and then having the time to appropriately fill that schedule with 7 to 11 days advance notice, it's gone a long way towards getting us to that 3% unfilled appointment rate, which we enjoy today. So tip number 3, use a preemptive strike. Tip number four, I want to encourage you to incentivize your patients to keep their hygiene appointments. I want to encourage you to incentivize your patients to keep their hygiene appointments. Now, that's kind of creative. How do we do that? Well, I teach my clients two different specific ways to incentivize patients to keep their hygiene appointments. One is, for any of your patients that you've provided whitening for, whether it be chairside whitening in the form of Zoom or other chairside system, or take-home trays, custom take-home trays, for any of those patients we provide whitening for, one of the things that you can do is you can consider offering the concept of lifetime whitening. Let me explain how that works. For any patients that we make custom trays, and in our office, if we provide Zoom, we make them custom trays. And of course, if they're using take-home whitening, they have a set of custom trays. For any of those patients, I recommend that you provide lifetime whitening. The way lifetime whitening works, as long as they keep their recommended hygiene appointments, you provide them with some syringes of whitening gel so they can touch up and maintain a nice white, bright smile. Now, how do we administer that? And actually, we can administer it we can manage that in a way that is actually very practical. We try to train our patients to give us at least 48 hours advance notice. We feel like, life does throw curves sometime, and sometimes people need to change appointments. As long as they'll give us 48 hours advance notice, 2 days advance notice, then we have enough time to fill those appointments, whether that happens on the hygiene schedule or on the doctor's schedule. So we try to train our patients to at least give us 48 hours advance notice. So for the way we explain the Whitening for Life program is we say, hey, Linda, one of the cool things that we offer our patients is Whitening for Life. As long as you keep your recommended hygiene appointments, we'll provide you with free gel during your hygiene appointments. It's a great win-win benefit. You get to maintain a beautiful white smile, and we get to take regular care of you. So it's a real win-win benefit. Now, the way we administer this, as long as they give at least 48 hours advance notice, if they need to change their appointment, they stay in the Whitening Life for Life program. If they either cancel or no-show, if they cancel with less than 48 hours or they no-show, then they're out of the Whitening for Life program. By the way, we buy the syringes from UltraDent. We pay about $3 per syringe. We either provide them with one or two syringes, depending on their food habits. If it's a patient that maybe drinks a couple cups of coffee a week, maybe a glass of red wine a month, they enjoy a spaghetti dinner with tomato sauce maybe once or twice a month. That's the kind of patient we might give one syringe a month. If they're the kind of patient that goes to Starbucks three or four times a day, let's say they enjoy a little bit more than just a little bit of red wine, they engage in a lot of food that has staining habits, then we might give them two syringes. So basically what I'm saying is I'm going to either pay $3 or $6 to put a butt in the seat to fill my hygiene appointment. And in client offices, my administrative team members often tell me that this incentive will save 5 to 7 hygiene cancellations a month. 5 to 7 hygiene cancellations a week. 5 to 7 hygiene cancellations a week. So think about that. The average hygiene appointment is worth about $150 when you figure out the exams and bite wing x-rays and comprehensive x-rays and so on. When you factor that in, it's worth about $150. So if we save 5 of those a week, we've saved $750 of production with 5 of those a week. Now take that on a monthly basis, multiply that by 4, and we've saved over $3,000 in unfilled appointments with that one strategy. We're certainly not spending anywhere near that on the syringes of whitening gel. So one way that we can incentivize our patients is by offering Whitening for Life. A second way that we can incentivize them is that you could agree to warranty your dentistry. So any restorative work that you do, you could agree to provide a warranty to your patients. And the warranty could be anywhere from 5 to 8 years, depending on the materials that you use. However, there'd be a stipulation in the warranty that says the warranty is only in place if they keep their future hygiene appointments. The warranty only stays in place if they keep their future hygiene appointments. And that's a lot like a warranty on a new car. You may have a 48-month or a 48-month, a 48,000-mile warranty on the powertrain of your car, of your new car. However, you'll read in the fine print that the warranty only stays in place if you've kept up all maintenance, all recommended maintenance on the car. So in the same way here, we tell our patients, you've invested a great deal in the dentistry that we're providing you. We're happy to stand behind our work. However, we do require that you allow us to maintain that, and we need to be able to see you on a regular basis to do that. So the warranty only stays in place if you keep your recommended hygiene appointments. So there's two ways that you can incentivize your patients to keep their hygiene appointments. And I like the idea of using a positive incentive rather than using a club. Using a club would be to penalize them for not keeping their hygiene appointments. I'd rather do a positive incentive for them to keep their hygiene appointments. And tip number five is I'm going to encourage you to set expectations up with your patient from the very beginning. Let me explain how you could do this. Imagine this. Imagine that one of your front desk team members escorts the patient into the consult room, perhaps to complete their paperwork. And while they're completing their paperwork, your front desk team member might say something like this. Linda, we are very happy that you've chosen our dental office for your care. We love to see new patients, and it's so great to welcome you into our dental family. Let me tell you a little bit about what you can expect from us. And now imagine that your front desk team member now lays out four specific things that the patient can expect from you. Now, you could make these, you could customize these on your own, but let me explain what might be four things that you could do that would have a very positive reception from the patient. Number one, Linda, you can expect us to take care of you like we would any of our family members. I know it sounds kind of corny, but we think of our practice as a big extended family, and we will take care of you exactly how we would take care of one of our loved ones. The second thing you can expect from us, Linda, because we think of you as family, we're going to use state-of-the-art materials, we're going to use state-of-the-art equipment, and state-of-the-art procedures to take care of you, because that's exactly how we would want to be taken care of if we were a patient in this practice as well. The third thing that you can expect from us, you can expect us to stand behind our work. If anything isn't right, we have a warranty in place. We'll certainly take time. If any treatment is recommended, I'll take time to go over that with you, depending on the materials. But our warranty is anywhere from 5 to 8 years. If anything isn't right, we will redo that treatment until it meets your and our satisfaction. The fourth thing that you can expect from us, if you ever need to reach the doctor after hours, here is the cell phone that you can use to reach the doctor. Now, I recommend our clients actually carry two cell phones, a personal cell phone and then a practice cell phone. So this is the practice cell phone number. Now, among my client offices that have done this, so we tell them, by the way, if it's just routine, you need to leave a message, you can call the office and leave a message. But if you ever feel like you need to reach the doctor directly as an active patient and a current patient in our practice, you have the right to contact our doctor by cell phone and reach our doctor after hours if needed. Now, among my clients who have done this, they have all reported the same results, that number gets used very, very, very sparingly. In fact, I have one client that in 5 years, that phone has rung 5 times. It's actually 5 times. And in all times, those occurrences, doctor did really appreciate hearing from the patient. They were all minor issues that he could take care of right over the phone, but they were issues that the patient genuinely felt like it was useful to reach out and contact the doctor. So it was those four benefits of being a patient in the practice. Number one, we're going to treat you like family. Number two, we're going to use state-of-the-art materials, state-of-the-art equipment, state-of-the-art procedures, because that's how we'd want to be taken care of. Number three, we stand behind our work. And number four, you can reach the doctor after hours as a current patient in our practice. After we explain that, we now say, Linda, now that you know what to expect from us, I'd like to take a minute and explain what we expect from you. It's actually just one thing. We expect that if you make an appointment, you show up, you keep your appointment. That simple. If you make an appointment, you show up. Now, we quickly back off that. We say, now, Linda, we know that things come up. The world's busy. It's very hectic today. We know that things come up. And if something does come up, we kindly ask that you give us at least 48 hours advance notice. Does that sound fair? And what every patient says at that point is, yes, that sounds perfectly fair. Now, there is a psychology to this whole approach. The psychology was, I gave her four things, and I only asked for one back. Now, I'm not here to tell you that every single patient is going to give you 48 hours advance notice, but you'll be surprised how often they will when you set it up from the very beginning, when you set your expectations up from the very beginning that way. You'd be surprised how many patients will absolutely follow your expectations that you set from the very beginning. So there's those five tips to dramatically reduce hygiene cancellation no-shows. Let me go over those real quickly. Number one, don't pre-appoint all patients. Number two, use a digital patient communication system to confirm appointments via email and text. Number three, use a preemptive strike. Number four, incentivize patients to keep their hygiene appointments. And number five, set expectations from the very beginning. Well, I want to encourage you to apply those five tips to your practice, and I'm sure you'll see the very same results that we have. Very proud of the fact that today, only about 3% of our available hygiene appointments go unfilled, and because we have a strong hygiene department, it contributes to a very strong doctor schedule as well. Hope you've enjoyed the tips in today's Thriving Dentist Show. Please let me encourage you to visit our website. If you haven't visited the website, it's TACAS, T-A-K-A-C-S, learningcenter.com, TACAS learningcenter.com. Let me also make a request. My request is that you take a minute and you actually write an iTunes review for us. If you're a regular listener to the Thriving Dentist Show, we currently have listeners in 123 countries, by the way, and I want to take a minute and say thanks to you. We love what we do here at the Thriving Dentist Show. However, we couldn't do what we do if it wasn't for you. Let me take a minute and express my thanks to you. You know, this has been a labor of love, and we'll continue. We've got lots of great guests lined up, and this will continue into the indefinite future as long as you're a regular listener. We'll keep producing the shows. But if you would take a minute and write an iTunes review. If you go on iTunes and you actually, it takes a little bit of navigation to get to the point where you can write a review on iTunes. It's not easy to do. But if you go to iTunes, click the podcast tab, type in Thriving Dentist Show, the show will come up. If you'll then click on the photo, the icon of the show, the next page that comes up will have a section where you can read and write reviews. If you'll simply click that and take a minute to write a review, we would sure appreciate that. We have over 50 five-star reviews, but would love to have even more. If you'd be kind enough to do that, I'd be very, very grateful for that. On that basis, let me simply say again, thank you for being a regular listener to the Thriving Dentist Show. I look forward to connecting with you on the next show. Thanks so much.
When you cry, be sure to dry your eyes, 'cause better days are sure to come. And when you smile, be sure to smile wide, and don't let them know that they have won. And when you walk, walk with pride. Don't show the hurt inside, because the pain will soon be gone. And when you dream, dream big, as big as the ocean blue. When you dream, it might come true. When you dream, dream big.